Primally Pure just launched their Blue Tansy Body Butter, and it's more than a moisturizer. It's a full body exhale. This is their best-selling body butter formula, reimagined with calming Blue Tansy. It's a rich, whipped body moisturizer packed with barrier-building grass-fed tallow to deeply nourish dry, compromised skin. The texture is cloud-soft but ultra-replenishing. It melts in, protects against moisture loss, and leaves skin visibly smoother and more supple. And the scent? Soft Blue Tansy, lavender and sandalwood. Fresh, subtle, and elevated. If you already love the Blue Tansy deodorant or body oil, this is the perfect next step. The days are longer, the calendar's filling up, and I want to feel as good as this beautiful summer weather. That's why I've been loving Grooms. It's one daily pack of gummies that covers my greens, vitamins, minerals, and even has 6 grams of prebiotic fiber. So I don't need to juggle a complicated wellness routine on top of everything else. They taste amazing. They're easy to toss in my bag on the go. Plus, they're vegan, gluten-free, and HSA FSA eligible for reimbursement. Save up to 52% off with code PODCAST at Grooms.co. That's code PODCAST at GRUNS.co.
New York is the city that never sleeps, and neither does Sal Licata. From Flushing in the Bronx to the Meadowlands in MSG, Sal sounds off on the biggest sports news of the day. Welcome to WFAN Daily with Sal Licata.
What an absolute ass-kicking those four games were. I don't recall, and I was at the first ever Subway Series game, loved it when it first started, 97, 98, 90, even though the Mets always get their ass handed to them historically over the years. I don't recall a Subway Series that was as non-competitive as this one was from the Yankee perspective. And the Mets deserve a ton of credit. Yesterday, to me, we made a big deal about the Yankee lineup and the Yankees being bad. We've talked about that for now 7 weeks, going on 8 weeks soon. The Yankees have been a bad team. Today, I think, is the right thing to do to give the Mets a ton of credit. They mashed Gerrit Cole. Even though I thought the Mets did their job taking the first three, no matter what happened in this final game four, the Mets did their job. 3 of 4, take the season series from the Yankees. And tough task to ask them to go into the Bronx and beat both Luis Gil and Gerrit Cole. The Yankees, you know, had on paper the better pitchers, although the Mets threw lefties at the Yankees, and that is certainly their kryptonite, although it seems like there's a lot of kryptonite that the Yankees have right now. But anyway, with Gerrit Cole going, I felt like maybe, all right, the Mets might lose this ball game. Cole been pitching much better as of late. Who knows what happens with the offense, but maybe the Yankees win a close one. And it started out looking like that, with Gleyber Torres going deep, changing the leadoff spot immediately as opposed to Jermaine Jones. But Mets pounded Gerrit Cole again. The Mets pounded the Yankees' pathetic bullpen. Alonso, Lindor, Vientos, on and on and on. You know, Tyrone Taylor had a terrific game. I'm not going to sit here and just list all the guys. You watched the game, and if you didn't, where the hell were you? That was fun if you're a Met fan. And if you're a Yankee fan, I understand why you shut it off. You can only take so much. But point is, the Mets are they're not just better, they're a significantly better team than the Yankees. Doesn't mean they have the better talent, certainly not the superstars that the Yankees have. They don't have the ace atop their rotation like Gerrit Cole. They don't have the best player ever in Aaron Judge or one of the greatest players of all time in Juan Soto. But their team is significantly better. And I don't give a crap what the record says. I don't care what the run differential says. I don't care what the stats say, where the Yankees rank offensively. Watch these teams since the beginning of June, pretty much, and tell me, and then watch them head-to-head, where they've now played 4 times and it was non-competitive. Tell me that the Yankees are better. Could they get better? Maybe. I don't think they could be saved. But the Mets are clearly better. They have a deeper lineup. Their bullpen is better. Their rotation is deeper. Every facet of the game, and I can't even believe I'm saying this, especially after what we've seen the first 2 months of the year, the Mets are significantly better than the Yankees are. And I don't recall a beatdown like this from the Mets' perspective. The only game that comes to mind, maybe the doubleheader that was at Yankee, might have been a day night at Yankee Stadium. Remember Delgado went nuts at Yankee Stadium in the afternoon? And I forget what happened. There probably was a night game at Shea, if I'm not mistaken. I forget that, but that day that Delgado went nuts was a day where I felt like the Mets really were in control, pounding the Yanks. Outside of that, though, and that was one game or one day, This was four straight, really. Outside of last night being the only close game, the other games were non-competitive. The Mets just mashed the Yankees. It shows you that, and I've said this for a while, whether it be on the show with BT or here on this space on the podcast, doing the shows live for you or whatever on the podcast, that the right way to build a team is depth in the lineup. And I don't want to say you go out there and actively look for mediocre starting pitching. Obviously, you'd rather have the better pitchers, right? You want to go get an ace, especially in the postseason. But we've seen that with the Mets fail. I mean, as recently as last year, Verlander and Scherzer, and before that, DeGrom and Scherzer. What could go wrong? Well, a lot can go wrong. And even when the Mets had a good team in 2022, they relied on those top guys to win a single game in Atlanta, which they could not do. More on Atlanta in a moment. Which they couldn't do to win that division. And then even in the postseason, all right, well, top heavy with the starting pitching, they should be able to beat the Padres in the postseason, right? Wrong. And then last year when it failed, they changed course. And this year with a new general manager, a new president with David Stearns, they weren't going to go nuts in the offseason, although they did try to go get Yamamoto, thinking that that was a wise investment, younger pitcher, worth it. You know, it comes over from Japan, so the marketability and all that stuff. They took their chance. He clearly didn't want them. He didn't want New York, period. He wanted to go to L.A. Fine. Then you build out with guys on one-year deals or two-year deals, just solid pitchers. You know, Quintana the year before that, they signed him, solid. Severino, solid. Manaea, solid for the most part. And try to piece it together with a solid rotation and a deep lineup. And that's exactly what the Mets have done, and it's working. Now, early on, it looked like they needed to blow the whole thing up, 11 games under. It was just a disaster. But now that Lindor is playing like the superstar that they traded for when he was with Cleveland, everything has changed.
I feel like we've all been taught to be scared of the sun, avoid it, reapply constantly, cover up immediately. But recently, I started questioning that. The sun actually plays a role in things like your mood, sleep, and hormones. So I'm not avoiding it anymore. I'm just more intentional about what I put on my skin when I'm in it. A lot of conventional SPFs are filled with things like hormone-disrupting chemicals, seed oils, and synthetic ingredients. So I started looking for something simpler. That's what led me to Primally Pure's SPF. It's super minimal, only 9 ingredients, using non-nano zinc, plus really nourishing things like tallow and mango butter. I've been using their sun cream, and it honestly feels more like skincare than sunscreen. Lightweight, not chalky, and just easy to wear. So if you've been rethinking your sunscreen, Primally Pure is one of the best places to start.
You throw in Nimmo, who had his hot spurts. J.D. Martinez at times had his hot spurts. Francisco Alvarez at times had his hot spurt. You have right now Jeff McNeil in his hot spurt. And it's been a little bit of contributions from everybody else, you know, not to leave anybody out. Alonso with a big home run today. Good to see him getting back with a, you know, powerful shot against Gerrit Cole. Vientos has been a mainstay all year long. Matter of fact, he might be their most consistent player from start to finish. Mark Vientos has been that good and that consistent all year long, where everybody else, you know, even Lindor obviously started poorly and then has just taken off like a rocket ship. But that's the way that I'd prefer to build a team in today's game. I just think that it works. Now, in the postseason, there's going to be different challenges. You feel like you need the ace or the dominant starting pitching. Doesn't always play out that way anyway, but you feel like you need that. And then, obviously, a bullpen, which somehow, you know, think about this, what the Mets have been able to do here. Not only squashing the Yankees and further embarrassing them, but the Mets have been able to win games regularly and win series regularly without a big league bullpen. The majority of arms in the Mets pen are not big league arms. And yet, they still are able to figure it out. I thought Mendoza used Ottavino in the perfect spot tonight. Two out, a righty coming up. That's what you want. Because if Ottavino doesn't get Volpe in that spot, it's disastrous for the Mets. Because Ottavino cannot face lefties. That's just where we're at with Ottavino. Matter of fact, I think that's always been the way, at least since he's been a Met. I never liked Ottavino as a matchup against a lefty bat. But Mendoza used him right in that spot. It helps. The Mets' bats extend the lead, and then you don't even worry about the bullpen. Last night, somehow, they patched it together without Diaz, one-run game. Diekman, you know, by now getting the job done. But it's been incredible. Whether the Diaz suspension, I mean, think about all the things that this Mets team has gone through. The start, 0-5, falling to 11 games under 500, injuries, whether it's Kodai Senga being out, you know, the poor performance from Lindor, Alonso not really contributing in a walkie, all of the above, all the nonsense, all the bullcrap, the Diaz suspension, and yet they've overcome it, and they're playing their best baseball of the year and have been playing this well consistently for nearly 2 months, and they're closing the gap on the Braves, and the Braves are coming to town. Braves are sinking. Mets are rising. You know, enough of the, and I said this a couple of weeks ago, even when it was a 5 or 6 game deficit, that the Mets, you know, oh, the Mets are in a wild card spot. That's great. The expectations have changed. The Mets are no longer the little, hey, maybe if everything goes well, we could back into a wild card spot and just be happy making the playoffs. Nah. No, that's changed now. And they've earned that. Their play has earned that. This is not false expectations or false belief. They've now earned that backing and belief and the raised expectations because they've played well for a long time. They will add at the trade deadline. What they'll add exactly, maybe it will be more than just a couple of bullpen arms. I think you're looking at bullpen arms bare minimum, which they desperately need. Maybe they add some bench pieces. Maybe they add an outfielder. Maybe they add a starter. Who the hell knows what Stearns and Cohen can have up their sleeves here and how far they want to go to believe in this team without being reckless and trading any top prospects. Like, that's just stupid. They would not do that at this particular point. But I said it weeks ago. Okay, great. You've gotten over 500. You've gotten yourself into the postseason position for now. Go get the Braves. And they're closing the gap. And now with the Braves coming to town, time to get them. Go get them. Chase the Braves. And I don't want to hear injuries. I don't want to hear about poor performance, ravaged team. Doesn't matter. Nobody's going to, you know, say anything for the Mets when they go through rough patches. I don't care what the Braves situation is. Nobody in their right mind going into the season thought it was remotely possible, including the Mets, that they would be capable of catching the Braves this year at all. Phillies running away with the division. Let them go and see what happens in the postseason, like a lot of the top seeds we've seen get eliminated early on in years past. I'm not saying that's going to happen with the Phillies, but the Phillies are gone. That's fine. The Braves are not. They're there for the taking, and they are owed some payback for 2022. Is it the same thing, the way the Braves stole the division from the Mets? No. But beating their ass is beating their ass. 2 years later, it's time for some revenge. And kick them while they're down. This is a very important series now after sweeping away the Yankees. Or should I do that? Sweeping away the Yankees. Now it's time to take care of business against the team that really matters here. We know the Subway Series is fun, the back and forth. But this is the team that the Mets need to beat. And let's see if they can follow it up. And I don't care how down the Braves are, it's always going to be a barometer for the Mets. Mets, Braves, the rivalry has been on, or at least was on, back to 2022, that entire year, with the Braves chasing down the Mets, finally catching them and surpassing them. Well, now it's the Mets' turn to return the favor here. Bury the Braves. Kick them on their way down. Then you really start to get excited about the trade deadline coming up Tuesday. And maybe it can further Stearns and Cohen's belief in this team, adding even more than just a bullpen arm or two to help them solidify that ball club, hopefully going on through the push in October in the postseason where anything can happen. All right, that does it for this edition of WFAN Daily. Back at it tomorrow on the radio with BT. That should be fun. Oh, man. I got to get some brooms and bring them into work. Actually, we're going to be at the Joe Torre golf charity event tomorrow at Sleepy Hollow Country Club. And I'm looking forward to seeing Joe Torre and a lot of the ex-Yankees. I might bring a broom for all of them. I know they had nothing to do with this. I don't give a crap. This is as sweet a sweep as I have ever experienced. BT's going to hear it tomorrow. You Yankee fans who said I was nuts for saying the Yankees stink and the Mets were better. That's the reality. Obviously, it could change. A lot has changed in the short baseball season. The reality is right now, and forget about even the Mets versus the Yankees. Yankees have been one of the worst teams in baseball, non-competitive. But right now, the Mets are better than the Yankees. We'll see you tomorrow.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.